There's judgment in the gate, and there's only one solution. The conscience of our country is the church and not the state. Oh, there's judgment at the gate. Let us hear the words he spoke. For Jesus Christ is America's only hope. Our money says in God we trust, yet we can't pray in schools. Our golden rule has changed. He who has the gold makes the rules. There's going to come a judgment day, not in the courts or halls. When the last shall be the first, and when the mighty fall. There's judgment in the gate, and there's only one solution. The conscience of our country is the church and not the state. There's judgment in the gate, let us hear the words he spoke. For Jesus Christ is America's only hope. We the church should all arise and build a strong foundation. We should once again be light throughout the nation. There's judgment in the gate, and there's only one solution. The conscience of our country is the church and not the state. Oh, there's judgment in the gate. Let us hear the words he spoke. For Jesus Christ is America's only
hearing all that static. It's important that you be aware that I'm in no way tonight preaching what is known in theological circles as the British Israel covenant. The British Israel covenant, a false teaching, teaches that the Queen of England sits on the throne of David, and that Israel has relinquished all rights and all privileges to the covenants of God. And they have been transferred from the Israelis to a group of people who are basically Adventist in their teaching. Herbert W. Armstrong, a very brilliant man, started his ministry, the Worldwide Church of God, in 1934, was when he began to hit the radio waves. And then his son, Garner Ted, began a very charismatic, when I use that word, I'm using it in the worldly sense, like movie stars, TV ministry. They built a huge kingdom in Pasadena, California. But the old man and his son had a falling out. Herbert W. Was in his 90s. He had amassed a large fortune from people sending money into his worldwide Church of God. When his wife died, it wasn't but a little while, he married a real young lady, woman, and when she divorced him, she got millions of dollars that people had sent in to this false group. But one of his prime teachings was that Israel had given up their covenant rights, and his group had the blessings. And there are many branches of this particular false teaching, but I want to overlay this, and the reason I have disassociated myself and the message tonight with that particular cult is because that in fact God has taken the blessings of Israel, and because of the circumstances of Israel at the time of the beginning of the United States of America and the settling of this country, God temporarily passed the blessings of Israel to the United States of America. Your privilege of being a member of this great country. And our history books, and if you studied history in college in particular, it's sickening to see how they have revised revisionist history. And tonight, for just a little while, I'd like to bring you to an awareness of the hand of God on the establishment of the United States of America, and how that somehow in the early 50s this started going wrong, and it has continued to deteriorate. And the Church of the Living God is the only means of bringing America back to our heritage. We have a holy heritage. And the reason is that we were given the resources to bless the whole world with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the freedom of expression that we've had in this country, and the way we have been allowed to raise money to send the message all over the world. A great problem is beginning to develop with the Roman Church having all these problems with the abuse of children by priests. And when that church was very powerful, about 64 million members in this country, when that church begins to be called into where they are being made to answer, believe me, little groups like us are not far behind. As a matter of fact, of course, I hope you don't misunderstand this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, there's so much ignorance in Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, and if you're from there, I do not apologize, because Arkansas is not even far behind. That's where I'm from. There's a lot of ignorance there in the religious realm. So much ignorance in the religious part. It's the Bible Belt, but there's so much ignorance. For example, a preacher has been called into court because this is a Baptist preacher in one of those states, I can't remember which one, probably Mississippi, and he had his picture put on a billboard out on the interstate highway, and he didn't get the vote of the church, vote of his local church to have his picture put on that, and the church paid for it, and he's now been arrested for fraud and for doing that. And so we're just beginning to, there's going to be some major problems in the churches because the church is the only hope. And so tonight, bear with me as I kind of skim over the top of some things. We'll begin the lesson tonight in the book of Psalms, the 33rd chapter, and I'd like to just read some verses to you and then switch to another part of the concept. Psalm 33. Are you ready to listen to the Word of God? Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. And you're righteous because of Jesus. For praise is comely or beautiful for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and the instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Sing skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. They didn't evolve, they didn't big bang. God was the big bang, his word. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And there's no compromise on that. And all the host of them, all of the sphere, by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, have reverence for the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Tonight, let's begin with this little group who the world doesn't care anything about, and they don't think we're worth anything. Let's begin by stepping back and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill our being and stand in awe of our all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present, sovereign God who has shed his covenant of grace upon your country, the United States of America. We are under a covenant of grace. You are a grace people. You are not under the severity of God. you are under the love and mercy of Almighty God. For he spake and it was done. I love that. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. Tonight my mind travels to the continent, just one continent, the continent of Africa. Africa should make the United States of America look like a third world country. And yet the whole nation tonight is under putrefying condemnation. The whole continent. And it's because that when they were offered the true and the living God, they chose to move out of the boundaries that God placed upon the nations. Africa should never have been set free from colonialism because they cannot rule themselves. And when people cannot rule themselves, then they have to find somebody who can rule them. And if you know your Bible, you know that the sons of Japheth were meant to rule the continents of the world until Jesus comes back. And Japheth has been run out of Africa. And Africa has become a sewer of damnation. God must be allowed to be God in his realm. Now, as we continue, the counsel of the Lord, that is his advice, stands forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. And then this is our verse for our country tonight. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. I believe, be it with all of my heart, the United States of America came into existence in order to be a blessing to the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this is going to be a little boring to you, but I'd like for you to come with me about 30 years ago to a place in New England where two men suddenly came into an awareness, and I read to you. Night had fallen on the small New England harbor. The fishing boats rocked at the harbor inside the nearby chapel. A gathering of some 200 townspeople. This happened about 30 years ago. Where the wood paneling reflected the electric lights. The speaker came quickly to the heart of his message. Quote, "This nation was founded by God with a special calling. The people who first came here knew that they were being led by the Lord Jesus Christ. To found a nation where men, women, and children were to live in obedience to him. This was truly to be one nation under God. That was the idea. The speaker paused. The reason I believe that we Americans are in such trouble, I'm quoting now from Peter Marshall. This is the son of the Peter Marshall and Catherine Marshall. He was the speaker. The reason I believe that we Americans are in trouble today is that we have forgotten that we are one nation under God. We have rejected that great calling. In fact, we have become quite cynical about it. May I pause and say, that is the saddest thing of all. That we have become cynical about the fact that we are one, in God's sight, we are one nation under God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's made fun of. Even subtly in pulpits all over this country to believe in God. We human beings are God. We have God in us, and we're the ones who are God. God didn't create us. This is what's being preached. We created God. That's a lie. But that's humanism. And if you have one speck of it in you, get inoculated by the Holy Ghost. He continues, Peter Marshall Jr. Now that was a strong statement. Would he be able to back it up? One of the listeners in the audience wondered what exactly our Christian heritage was, and had wondered for a long time. 4 years before, to be exact, the listener was David Manuel, who, while an editor of a major New York publishing house, Random House, by the way, had discovered to his dumbfoundment, let that word sink in, dumbfoundment. He had discovered, this man is the CEO of a huge publishing house that influences millions of minds every day. But he discovered to his dumbfoundment that God was real. 4 years before he was in this service. Don't you know that must be a shock to some people who suddenly find that God is real? What a shock that must be to religiously ignorant people. Have you come to that dumbfounded awareness? God is real. We didn't create him. He created us. Now this is 4 years before, and now he's listening to Peter Marshall Jr. preach in this New England church. He had discovered to his dumbfoundment that God was real. Not only was God real, but he loved him beyond all human comprehension, and had been waiting all of David Manuel's life for David to realize it. I brought that out this morning. It's not so much have you received Christ, but have you let Christ receive you? Let that sink in. I know as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. But you must let Him receive you first. This discovery that David had come to turned his world upside down. And not long after, he felt that God would have him use whatever writing and editing ability and his finances that he might serve the kingdom of God. Oh, the CEOs, instead of finding themselves in real trouble because they have cheated in their companies. Oh, that CEOs of the big companies that are laying off because they want to draw their big bonuses, laying off 7, 8, 9 thousand people, cheating the working man. A working woman who have no control over their lives. My friend, you better let God have control of your life. And listen to me. If you have a job and you have any kind of income, you better thank God for that job. And you better tithe the first 10% to Almighty God. You say, here you are preaching on money. No, I'm not preaching on money. I'm preaching the Bible. Some of you, not all of you, but too many of you, are emotional givers. You give when you feel like it. The things are not going your way, you don't feel like it, so you just turn your head on God. Well, you'll end up wishing to God that you had not done that. I could have enough people stand up in this audience right now to tell you, it pays to give the first 10% of your income to God. It pays in many ways. Now, that wasn't in his sermon. I put that in. But this man was the CEO of a big company. And when he found God, he decided, I will dedicate who I am to this real God. And tonight I'm preaching this sermon that you might find out who you are and that you might dedicate who you are. No matter what the circumstances may be, to the true and living God. Now already some of you are trying to get away from me. Come back. Get back here! Don't you go. Stay with me. Because I've got better things yet to tell you. Right quickly. The speaker was Peter Marshall, who had grown up rebellious against two spiritual legends. His father was the chaplain of the Senate of the United States. His mother, Catherine, was a well-versed spiritual book writer. And Peter Jr. didn't like the idea of being raised in the shadow of two great giants of God. So what did he do? In his youth, he rebelled. You know, I don't get so excited about these people who rebel. Because one day they're going to come home. And they're going to come home better than they left. I'm not a cynical preacher. I believe that God can use rebellion as well as he can use obedience. What did I say? Can you accept that? Of course he can use rebellion. You don't rebel against something you don't think's there. But he is now, of course, back with the Lord, but as he preaches this sermon, he had given up his rebellion in 1961. He too entered into a personal relationship with God, and before long had committed his life to serving a living, risen Savior. This service took him to the ministry of the Cape Cod Church, where he became pastor of the East Dennis Community Church and a wide-ranging national speaker. But that night, on the eve of, and this was in, this is about 20-something years ago, on the eve of the first national day of redemption, a national day of redemption. That's a great, I'm glad they had that. I wish it had took. But it didn't take. But that he was preaching that night on the beginning of the National Day of Redemption. And what made the nation need even more compelling, he said, was the realization that now much of God's hand had played a part not only in America's founding, but indeed in the very discovery of America. And he said to his audience, I want to read to you what Christopher Columbus, and by the way, Christopher Columbus was a Jew. Now your history books won't tell you that. And I can just see, if I'd have told one of my history teachers at Northeastern Tahlequah he was a Jew, they'd have given me a F in history. But he was a Jew. Christopher Columbus himself said about why he came here. Now remember, and I must tell you this, and I don't have time to go into all the details, Harvard University has a library. And that library, no one has access to it except an elite group of so-called scholars. The library was established by the grandson of a very wealthy philanthropist. The grandson left all of his money. He died when the Titanic went down. And in his will, this library, can you think of a library that is so elite that it has 600 employees? Rare books that only you have to have access is almost like getting in, probably be easier to get into Fort Knox than to get into that library. And these two men are not Harvard men that writes that, but they were able to get this. What I'm going to read to you has never officially been translated into English. But it has been translated, these are the words of Christopher Columbus. And I believe that they are accurate. I did not just fall off of a turnip truck and come here tonight to preach this to you. I want you to listen. Now remember, Columbus fell out of favor with Isabella in particular, and had his governorship taken away from him of the land he discovered. But here is what Columbus wrote and has been translated into English. This is in the Harvard Library that is only certain people are allowed to even research in that library. But I want you to hear the words of Christopher Columbus. Now remember, Peter Marshall Jr. is reading this to a group of people in New England on Cape Cod in a chapel where they are trying to have a revival of repentance. Quote, Christopher Columbus, English translation. It was the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, who put in my mind, if I could feel his hand upon me, the fact that it would be possible to sail here to the Indies. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter. Ridiculed me, Columbus said. And then Columbus says, there is no question that the inspiration of my sailing west was from the Holy Spirit. Because he comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures. Columbus was a student of the Bible. I, Columbus, am an unworthy sinner. But I have cried out to the Lord for grace and mercy. And they have covered me completely. I have found the sweetest consolation since I made it my whole purpose to enjoy his marvelous presence. For the execution of the journey to the Indies, I did not make use of intelligence. I did not make use of mathematics. I did not make use of math. There were none. It is simply the fulfillment. This is what Columbus believed. And I believe it. It is simply the fulfillment of prophecies you can find in the book of Isaiah. He found his guidance to come to this part of the hemisphere in the book of Isaiah. No one should fear to undertake my task in the name of our Savior. If it is just and if the intention is purely for the holy service, the working out of all things has been assigned to each person by our Lord. But it all happens according to his sovereign will. Even though he gives advice, God lacks nothing that it is in his power to give to men. His will and his purpose. Oh, what a gracious Lord, who desires that people should perform for him those things for which he holds himself responsible. Day and night, moment by moment, everyone should express their most devout gratitude to him. The audience was stunned with amazement. Did Columbus really think this way? All we had ever been taught had indicated Columbus discovered the New World by accident while seeking a trade route to India. No mention has ever been made of his faith. let alone that he felt he had been given his life's mission directly by God. Nor had we suspected that he felt called to bear the light of Jesus Christ to undiscovered lands in fulfillment of Bible prophecy, or that he had been guided by the Holy Spirit every league of the way, and he knew it. Moreover, listen carefully, this was not the wishful thinking of some overly enthusiastic fundamentalist. These were the words of Columbus himself. And when David Manuel heard those words, he went to Peter Marshall. The results is a book that's out of print now, I believe. But I recommend it as a history book for every school. The Light and the Glory. What if our education system that is falling to pieces, what if they were to turn and tell us the truth about why this country came into existence? It didn't come into existence, pardon me, that we might have a great football program all over the country, and a great basketball program, and now soccer, and golf, and all the other Tweedledee, Tweedledum stuffs that go on. This country was established to glorify the God of heaven. Yeah. And to bring the message of the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ, to a lost and dying world. Tonight, I can only do what one man can do. I can only believe what one man can believe. And that is that the United States of America, with all the faults that we have, is a country that God designed to be a light on the hill for the whole world to know and follow the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things that Jesus taught. I hope tonight that holy patriotism was stirred up in you. And I hope you'll rethink your whole political, and I use that word in the good sense, your whole political outlook, because we are moving into a whole new realm of damnation unless we change and accept our God-given destiny as a nation. Tonight, I dedicate what's left of my life in a way I have never dedicated before, that this nation under God might prevail against the evil that is perpetrated upon it. God save us. God save America. And may America be the salvation of millions all over the world. Tonight, may God bless this message to your heart. I don't know how it will affect you. That's not my business. That's the Holy Spirit's business. Why she comes to Liberty. She's a soldier in the controversy of the Seminole Nations about the Freeman controversy. And Sylvia Davis, Sylvia, why don't you just come over here by me a minute? This sweet little old child. That's why I see you as a little child, Sylvia. She's fought hard, and I'm not real familiar with a lot of the television news programs, but you'll be on 60 Minutes, which is what network is that?
CBS,
and that'll be the what? On the 27th of June.
The
19th. The 19th of June, you'll be on 60 Minutes. They've already filmed it. And she's fought hard for what she believes are her rights as a member of the Seminole Nation, being brought from Florida. And Sylvia, to inspire these people, there are a lot of churches you could go to. Why are you here?
I am here because I found freedom here being in this church. I found out that I don't have to be jailed for my college. Loved in this church, and I do appreciate each and every one of you that supported me, that prayed for me, and that stood by me to let me know that I don't have to give up. I just can't continue to look up to the hills from which cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord, which makes heaven and earth. And I just thank you all as Christians and children of God just being with me, and I ask that you all continue to pray for me, that the Lord would just continue to bless me.
Amen.
Okay.